Hello, everyone. Welcome to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I'm your host, Willie Morales. And on today's show, I have Jim Monk, president of Closets. Jim, how are you?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm good. You know, right before we started recording, you know, we were chit-chatting about, you know, how New York is with certain studio sizes and all that. So this is a perfect segue into our interview. So anyway, Jim, so how are you? Thank you so much for being on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I really, really appreciate it.
Absolutely. First off, I hope you and your family are doing well. I know you guys have been hit a lot harder than Texas, and numbers are rising. So give you my thoughts and prayers on all of that. So that's the very first thing I'd say. But
thank you. Same to you guys.
Yep. And so thank you. And so we're doing good, man. You know, we're in a very interesting time, both as a country, but also from an economic stance and multifamily especially. So I think you guys are going through it like we are. You know, we're a little different from a regional point of view, but we're doing well. I can't complain.
Yeah, here in the city, Jim, in New York, I mean, I don't know if you read it, but my God, it seems like everybody's abandoning the city lately. I think the last number I looked, which was maybe a couple of months ago, it was like maybe 16,000 vacancies, give or take, on apartment buildings. And now I'm seeing rent go as low as $200 cheaper than they were a couple of months ago. So yeah, I mean, owners are looking for, and I mean, they're offering incentives like a couple of free months of rent or other stuff that, you know, try to get the people to come in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. I definitely do.
So Jim, one of the questions I always like to ask someone like you, were you always entrepreneurial? Was this something you were born with, or as you got older, you grew into being an entrepreneur?
So really great question. So I would say I've always had the entrepreneurial bug. Myself and my business partner both have run multiple companies. Starting out, I was raised by a single mom. So I didn't have necessarily the mentorship, but I was very fortunate that coming out of college, I'm a first generation high school graduate, college graduate as well. So thanks to mom. And you know, coming out of that, I worked with some people that were really great to say, look, this young man needs some help. This is where he's going. And we're going to help him try to get there. And so they led me down the path. And, you know, at the time I'd always say, well, I'm just a business owner, but what does that really mean? Well, you know, you find out quickly, you're the guy, it's the trailblazer. You're the person out there that's waking up in the middle of the night, kind of going, okay, did I make payroll? Did I do this? You know, here's an idea or thought we need to inject into the company. So I would say I've always had that drive to want to do that. And then I've also been inspired by, it seems like we got this renaissance going on now with COVID and everything. So many people that are getting into business, but you know, for a period of time, as you probably know, women, it was frowned upon, kind of looked down on. You know, I had friends that went into corporate America. And they're like, well, we're getting these good paychecks. And now they're going, you know, I really should have done what you did, you know, when I was in my 20s or 30s. And you know, so I feel fortunate to be in there. So yes, I would say I've always been an entrepreneur. I've run four companies, literally starting out of my house. The largest one had 8,000 employees.
Wow.
So yeah, so it grew very large, and I sold it 2 months before the crash of Lehman Brothers in 2008.
Was it perfect timing, huh? Sorry.
yeah, it was a good time. I was in the financial services market, but so I saw the housing bubble and everything. And so just, you know, timing's a lot of it, luck, everything else. So that's what I can tell you.
Hey, listen, I think you realized early on that, you know, you didn't want to be a 9-to-5er. I mean, I still have my, you know, my real estate business, my podcast business, but at the same time, you know, I'm slowly but surely trying to get myself out of that 9-to-5 so I can control my time. You know what I mean?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So when was, what was that aha moment that made you want to get into the real estate field? When did that hit you?
That is a really great question. So for me, it started out as a passive investor in multifamily. So a friend of mine says you should be putting your money in multifamily. So I started doing that. And what really caught my eye was what we're going through. I kept hearing people say multifamily is recession proof. You know, if you look at individual housing, and I you know, again, talking about 2008, I saw what happened in 2008, and we're here in Dallas and we're fortunate, but I had some real estate in Florida, and that just took a bath. And then, you know, so for me, being a passive investor, seeing that and seeing the returns and so forth, and just kind of building upon itself over time seemed to be really just intriguing. And then moving into manufacturing, my background's manufacturing. My business partner was the largest renovation company in the country up until recently. He sold it for multifamily. So he and I are literally chatting back and forth and talking about what's changing in the marketplace and how do I move the needle on my rents? Because, you know, the reality is you've done the hard surfaces, the flooring, a lot of us have optimized the space to where there's really very little left, William, to do. Yeah. But the question is, this is all pre-COVID, what in the world do I do? I can throw another color paint on this, but I could add a dog park. But what can I do and what can give me a solid ROI out? So that's basically kind of how the inception of closets started, was based on that question.
Yeah, so tell us about the concept of closets. Like, I love the idea. And when my audience sees this, I mean, your background is amazing. Because I thought it was a background when you said, no, this is the real thing. So yeah. Ladies and gents, when you see the background, this is amazing. So yeah, so what was the concept? Like, what made you get into that side of the real estate field?
So I'm going to grab something real quick, Sam. Let's see if I have it here. I love show and tell. So let me see here. I don't think we have it right here. Nope, I don't have it. Well, the reality is that when I was sitting down with Steven, I said, look, you've done tens of thousands of remodels. I'm curious, what has changed over the last, say, 20 years, 30 years that you've been in the renovation side of this and in new construction? What have you seen in new construction as well? And so we started talking about it, and I kind of go, as an entrepreneur, I tend to look at, okay, where are people not going? What's not being focused on right now? Because that's an opportunity, I think. And so what we sat down and looked at was, I said, what is the one area, if you had to pick an area in the apartment, what is the one area that hasn't changed? And he said, oh, that's easy, closet systems. He goes, they're either MDF, wire racking, rod and a shelf. It's something really basic. And I said, well, why do you mention that? And he goes, well, because the reality is, Jim, today's renters are looking for resort type amenities. When you look at the new construction, they're cramming a ton of amenities in these things. And the boomers and the millennials, they want to feel good about every part of that property. And this is, again, this is before COVID. And so, you know, our company's been around a little over 2 years. And the reality is that this is before shelter in place, before we're all sitting in our homes for all this period of time, or residents. And so he and I sat down and started talking to some other owners and saying, you know, if we could figure out a business case where we could upgrade the closet system to support a rent increase of 3-5% and a strong ROI, is that of interest to you? Because it's an interest to me as a passive investor. If I can get that kind of rent increase and ROI, I'm definitely listening. And if I can do it for less than $1,000, and I can talk about that for a unit or for a primary closet, if I can do that, then I'm even more interested, because going with granite or other things like that, or the more expensive items, it can be pretty pricey. And so, so we went into it with a concept of, is there a business case here? And so what we started doing was beta testing with some of the largest groups out there. Your audience may know them, UDR, Knight Vest, Pinnacle, the Harbor Group. These are groups that have $1 billion plus portfolios. And we knew we were onto something when we could convince them to start considering this. Now, mind you, this is, a year of trial and testing. We really weren't going out to market too much. And these big guys are saying that. And then we started looking at this going, what about your mid guys and your small guys, your guys like me that got a couple hundred units on a good day, and some of these guys have thousands of units. Then you could see that we could tap into a market. So we consider ourselves, William, a on-demand service, like an Uber almost, for the multifamily space.
So you work mostly with four units and up. Do you do any like single family residents, or they have the closet space already that, you know, closets might not be a concept for those owners?
So, and when we talk definitely about why, because there's some very interesting motivations that we would have never have thought about. Yeah. I was looking at it from, let's just get the rent increase and the ROI. But some of the sophisticated investors have come to say, well, no, this is the reason why we're doing it. It's not for that, it's for this. So we'll talk about that here in a minute. But a number of REITs reached out to us, and small investors that have single family units. On the REIT side, we have a company called Tricon that we're doing work with right now. They have, I think, 45,000 single family homes throughout the country. And wow. yeah, they're big. And we're testing right now in Phoenix, Austin, and Dallas with them right now. So it works in the single family, even more so. They're actually looking at, if it wasn't for COVID, I will tell you, these groups like a Tricon are saying, look, we could get higher rent levels. We can get 8 to 10%, they believe, in a good market with our upgraded system. And so that's very interesting to hear when you've got what I deem to be real smart money behind this, doing the numbers. You know, they've got a room full of people crunching numbers to make this stuff work, these asset managers. And yeah. So for us to be there talking to them and they go on shaking their head going, yeah, that can work. That validates us. And so that's where we started out. And about a year ago, we started going into the marketplace full on board. So, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's definitely a great concept that, you know, the more and more I hear you talking about it, and the more, you know, I'm looking at my questions. So how do you approach an owner who wants to increase their ROI with your product? Is this, do you go through word of mouth or do you market? How do you get in front of these owners that maybe are looking to increase their ROI?
So great question. So obviously through education, very much like what you're doing with your audience is one way. Another way that we do this is through LinkedIn. LinkedIn's been a very powerful tool for us. And then in addition to that, we have salespeople that, you know, smiling and dialing, man, that this still works. And so we do that because it's such a unique opportunity. And so our approach has changed somewhat in how we go about this way, which is we try to understand now, we have a calculator now that we look at each property on and we'll say, what's your cap rate on this? What's your exit cap rate? What are you trying to achieve with the property? You know, are you looking to hold for a long period of time, you know, over 7 years? Are you looking to flip it, you know, fix it up and flip it, or do value adds and flip it at some point in time? Because depending on where they're at, it may make sense or it may not make sense, and it may change the strategy. And so from an educational point of view, the way we approach it now is, if you're trying to, first off, increase your rents, we can go in with our system. And typically the way we're going in with it is we're doing it on the make ready or the turns. So we'll go in and we'll say, look, we'll either ship you the product, we'll design it for free, ship you the product, and your maintenance teams or your trim carpenters that you have, your local tradespeople can install it themselves to save on labor. Or we can do a full turnkey solution for you. But the real questions we have are, what are you trying to accomplish? And so for some of our clients, here's the strategies we've heard that are just, I wish I was this intelligent. These are brilliant concepts. So we have groups that will go in and say, we want just a rent increase. We want to get the ROI up to here, affect our NOI by this much. And I'll give you an example. We have a client where we do quite a few of their properties now. We went in and ultimately the property, bigger closets than average, was about a $350,000 investment over about a year period. So we're slowly cutting away on their make readies and turns. When they exited the property at a 5.4 cap rate, the numbers, they were getting about a $40 to $45 rent bump per month. You can do the math real quick. That investment became $3.4 million to them. That was the return on that investment.
Wow.
So it's legit. And so now we do a lot of their properties, because what happens, they value engineer us in. They go, we need to own every one of these properties. So a lot of these groups that are coming to us now say, look, we're getting ready to acquire a property and we want to add this in. And it could be fourplex, duplex, we're going to get ready to buy. When we do, we want you to install or ship us the product, because we're already adding in the value proposition. Some of them, William, will come in and say, beyond acquisition, let's say we're getting ready to do a renovation. So we want to do it, put it in the renovation budget, CapEx budget. Yeah. Again, because they want to increase the NOI. A third one, which has been very creative, I'll tell you, this one really caught us. It's a company out of California. Can't mention the name, but it's a very interesting strategy. They are holding their properties about 7 years now. They're having to age them out based on where the market is today.
Right.
And so they recognize that we don't need the ROI over a 3 to 4 year period. We can go seven. So, you know, we don't need to move the needle that much. But what they started doing was they started evaluating this as, let's invest it in every one of the properties we have, so that we can write down the profits for that year. So we can expense the whole thing. We can, instead of depreciating it out, we'll just put this on as a line item. And they literally just came to us and said, hey, I had to ask the CEO, I said, why are you doing it this way? And he said, well, because we're trying to insulate the profits. We're improving the property. We don't want to take the tax hit right now. We're deferring it. So by throwing these clauses in property now and doing this all in one lump, we're able to prevent ourselves from getting hit with a tax and just deferring it. I thought that was brilliant, candidly.
That is brilliant. I'm like, wow, you know?
I can't evangelize that enough now. That's what they're doing is, and they're in Texas, Illinois, and on the West Coast. And so we're doing a number of their property sets because they just want to defer the taxation as much as possible.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. We're talking with Jim Monk, president of Closets. So can you give me an example of how would you work a studio apartment? Now, sure. Here in New York, you know, people want to be close to their jobs. They want to be close to their local lounges, you know, obviously pre-COVID and hopefully after COVID. So how would you structure or how would you, fix the closet or make a closet in a studio space? Because, you know, in a studio, you might have one closet and it might be, you know, 6 to 12 inches.
Yeah.
Can you give us an example?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way we work is the very first thing is we'll ask the prospective client to say, look, give us rough dimensions of what walls we're working with. Either it's a closet system or a wall. We do them in studios, condos now, again, senior living and student housing, things that, again, we weren't approaching, but our investors go, we're investing in this. We need you over here now. Right. Makes sense. So what happens is we will then have our internal team do the design. Our designs are, it's a floating system. And so if you look, I'm gonna move here.
Yeah.
You can see it floats off the wall there.
Oh, right.
So what happens is we have a number of inventory sizes and we work it off of the walls as much as possible. And then we'll give over the design and say, based on that design, here's the price. One of the things that makes us very unique is we realized very early on, William, that we had to manufacture the product. We are the manufacturer, the engineer, the installer of the product, or we are it. And so the reason being is we needed something that we could control and be able to put out there and cut out all middle people, all distributors, all that. Because ultimately, I mean, the multifamily space is very cash sensitive, especially now, but they were more so now, but they were then even prior to COVID. And so they're looking at how can I get the lowest cost I can. So we cut out all the people, and so it's you know, I call it direct from manufacturing to client. And so for us, we do the design, we show the pricing. It's very transparent on that. And if they say yes, then the next questions we ask are you looking for us to do the installation for you? How many are we looking at? Or do you want us to ship the product to you? And we have clients today that we ship daily. Client's product where we've taught them, we have how-to videos and instruction guides both in English and Spanish on how to do this.
That's amazing. So are your closets are portable? Let's say if you have you didn't get a chance to, you know, let's say redesign a studio, but a tenant from that building calls you and says, hey, you know, can you help us out here? We need at least, you know, a coat rack or something. Do you work with like individual tenants, or it has to be the homeowner? Does my question make sense?
I think so. So we've had several clients who've said, look, we're referring over to our tenant here. We're going to let them pay for it themselves. We don't typically do that.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
We don't typically do it because here's the reason. One of the very first questions we'll say to the client is, do you have plumbing in there? Are you worried about what they're getting ready to drill into? How is it going to look when they rip it out? If they take it with them, you should consider some things. When we do ours, and our product is a 3/4 inch plywood product with a melamine finish. This is a furniture grade product. This isn't particle or MDF. This is a solid wood product. And so for us, we're telling, look, this is a permanent structure, almost like your cabinets, your cabinetry for your kitchen and stuff. And so the one thing we tell them is be cautious to do that, because we've had clients do that. Sometimes it turns out really good, other times not so good. But we do have them every once in a while call us up and say, hey, they want to add like our shoe towers. Our yeah. shoe towers are retrofitted so we can add drawers into them. So they don't standard come with, but we can add drawers to them. Sometimes the clients will call us up and say, hey, they want to change that drawer, they want to change it into a drawer set, make a piece of furniture. Can you just ship us the drawers with instructions and we'll have them do it? And they will.
Wow.
And that's been very clever. Or they'll have their maintenance team do it.
Right. But you prefer to work with the homeowner because at least they can give you the floor plan, the interior, the interior of the building, if you're not hitting a pipe or something. I get it. That makes sense.
Yeah, that, and the other thing too is at the end of the day, it's the ownership that's going to have to deal with this in some respect, in the sense that if they rip it out, then you got to figure out what to put back in and all this. Yeah. So we try to say, look, if you've got multiple units, let us do the designs and you're authorizing that. So you have a little more control of the quality and how it's being laid out. You know, you don't want necessarily a client going in there, a resident going in there and making some decisions that may be impactful to the property in a negative yeah. manner.
No, that definitely makes sense. Do you guys do office space, or it's just mostly just, you know, apartments and
yep. residential? So with this COVID world we live in today, we're actually working right now on retrofitting this to be able to become a office where you can do a pull down, where you can put a computer in there. It's real clever, but we do a lot of common area spaces with the system so that people can use it as a library almost. You can take out the rods here. We've seen some pretty creative stuff out of these things. So, it's a system that's a little bit versatile, not overly, but you know, it's creative in how they use it.
Well, I'm pretty sure the more you get going, you'll definitely come up with different concepts that a homeowner might like. Hey, I like this, you know. So it's always trial and error, right, Jim?
Absolutely. This is our fourth generation product. Cool. And we've only been in business 2 years. We literally get feedback from our clients and we go, you know, like a simple example, we had a circular rod. We went with an oval one that's stronger because oval's harder to bend. We went in with stronger screw sets and all this. And so all of our product is all in the packaging, even our screws and everything in there for the wall mounts. Everything's in there. So our installers can deal with it, or, you know, depending on who they have working in the field for them, you know, we do have a lot of maintenance people that put this up for their internal operations, which right. is real clever.
No, it is clever. So let's talk about market changes. Obviously, it's late in the season, but where do you see the market going in multifamily? Are we going to see, I'm, you know, here in New York City, you know, it's getting hurt because people are leaving because of COVID, and right. hopefully they come back. Or also too, I think some people are getting priced out of New York. Where do you see the multifamily space going in the next 3 to 6 months, if it's possible to predict that far ahead?
It's a real question. So for us, and what we see and what we hear from all the different groups that we work with, one of the things we hear is Q1 of next year, it's going to be heating up on acquisitions. We see acquisitions. There's a lot of money on the sidelines. I mean, I've talked to several companies that will quickly tell us, look, we need to place $2 billion. We have that sitting on the sidelines, to use that. So we hear, even, and then the smaller guys, even we've got investors that want to put this money somewhere, you know, in syndication or just people in general. And so the reality is we see the market heating up. Deal flow is starting to pick up. We see that picking up even more because we're involved in some of those early stage conversations on value adds. So we see that happening. There's definitely some winners and losers in this game, you know, with this, unfortunately, but it's the truth. I think you're seeing that all the projects on new development, I see new development slowing down quite a bit. If it hasn't been already secured and financed, unless it's something very unique, over the next 2 years, you're going to see the market start dipping down on new development. The cost of lumber is quite high. It's up 70% right now, William. And so when you're considering, and part of that's because of COVID, you know, the factory workers at the plants to the mills to create the wood and everything and make it into workable lumber are sick or having to shut down and stuff. So we have a low supply of wood, but high demand for it still. Construction is still going. And so material costs are up really high. So when you look at the build out of multifamily or even single family, we're seeing clients now that will say, we're $1.5 million over budget now for our multifamily build out because of wood. Nothing's changed. It's wood. And then we have others that are saying in the single family residence, it's costing between $8,000 and $15,000 more for that home now, just because of the wood cost going up. Yeah. So I think you're going to see some slow down.
So that's the trend you're going to be looking for probably in the next 3 to 6 months as the market slowing down.
But on new construction.
And do you see any type of trend where some of these homeowners might want to remodel some of their older buildings to add the closet space? Is that a trend that you might?
Absolutely. So that's one of our major focus. When you look at the multifamily space, 5% is new construction, 95% is existing. So renovations or slight, what we'd call facelifts on the properties, that is the biggest place. And if you really want to look at just even consumer confidence and everything, go look at Lowe's and Home Depot right now. It's through the roof because more people are doing DIY projects and so forth. Even your small investors are doing those DIY projects now because people are staying in longer. You know, again, the market's, it's got its challenges, but it's still not bad. You know, it's not like 08.
No, definitely not. Well, hopefully it doesn't get that bad.
But I hope not.
Do you cover just Texas? You're in Texas, am I correct?
Yeah, we're in Dallas, but
do you cover other markets?
We do. So literally just today, we're doing installs in Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, North Carolina, Chicago, Illinois, Portland, Seattle right now. Those are the ones just today that I can tell you that we're working. Yeah. Just today, seriously.
Right.
But wow. We bid out on things in California to St. Paul, Minnesota to Ocean City. We just bid out one in Ocean City up there, but closer to you.
Yeah. So in the Baltimore, Maryland area?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So you guys are covering pretty much.
Was not the plan, but what happens is our clients come to us and they say, hey, we really like this. We're going out here. And you're like, we're going with you. We're supporting you. We'll figure it out. We'll either hire local labor and teach them how to do the workforce, or we'll send our labor out. So like Atlanta or North Carolina, we'll send our people out. Yeah. You know, we don't make nearly the margin off it.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that. Like, how do you set teams up in these markets?
So it's really difficult early on because you're really looking for lighthouse accounts. So like Phoenix, we had one client we would send people out to. Then what happens, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 get going, then you say, okay, I have a permanent team here now. I can have a permanent team and support them. And so that's how we do it. We seed it with a couple of accounts and then start supporting it that way.
I see. Wow. So we talked about the pandemic. Did it affect business at all? And if it did, what did you learn from it?
So yeah. So very first thing we learned was very quickly, our clients were very sensitive to the residents. They didn't want to expose the residents to anything. And so for about almost 90 days, it went from 100% on full throttle to, I'm gonna say, almost zero. You know, they were very concerned about people walking in. They were concerned about people handling material and exposure. So the very first thing we learned was, you know, to be sympathetic to our industry and say, look, what's going on here? We're all facing this right now. And yes, we need to make money, but we also understand where you're at and we can't rush this. And so that was the very first thing. And then the next thing is we really leaned on our processes internally and protocols. And when we were disinfecting, because you didn't know at the beginning, we were disinfecting all the surfaces, even when the product came out of the manufacturing, even when we were shipping, we were disinfecting it because we just didn't know where it was coming from, COVID. And so we were very worried about that. And we were worried about our installers in the field. So we started saying, look, you got to wear gloves, you got to wear a mask, you got to sanitize. Things that probably wouldn't have been talked about 6 months earlier were now top of mind. And so we very rapidly put that into place. And then it's a matter of over communicating to your customer base and saying, where are you at right now on your renovations? Where are you at on your installs? What kind of turns are you doing? What are you feeling? You know, there's a lot of nervousness that and then the other thing that we have going on right now is we still have the mandate in place that you can't evict and so forth. So we have clients that are worried about that and where that's taking them. And so some of them just kind of stopped for a moment, put pause, and we understood. And what's been very interesting is once they unpause, they're very quickly getting back to us and engaging, saying, hey, we want to go put the clauses in now. We didn't know if they would do that. We were really concerned if they would just hold tight to their money and capital. But we've had a number of them say, look, the market's relatively predictable what's going to happen. We're going to unpause now and start working on it. But it's been a slow wind up. And so it's good. It's not great. It's not where we wanted to end the year. But we're still here. We're still putting out new business, new clients. And 2021 looks solid from our perspective.
Well, that's good. I mean, because at the end of the day, you don't want anyone to lose their jobs or their homes.
No.
The main thing is just having, you know, a steady work coming in for you, obviously for your employees, but also for yourself, because, you know, I hate to see when any business fail, you know, and I always wonder, you know, I think I did a podcast like 2 years ago, like, what was it that this business failed? Was it lack of reserves, or was it the rent too high, or maybe they just moved out to a cheaper place? You know, you always want to know these things. So as we're about to end here, I just wanted to, what's next for your company? What's the goal for Closets?
So adding to our material, more upgrades to the product and so forth, maybe some variations on color. Right now, white is our color. It's color choice because it's neutral in tone and easy to work with. But we've had clients that have actually asked for grays and blues and whatever the trends might be. And so we do special orders on those right now, but trying to look at, is that a continual trend that we need to look at and get on top of? Beyond the material and product side of it, it's expansion. So for us, over the next couple of years, you'll see us start having regional warehousing because the product is quite heavy. And so for us, you know, we've already pinpointed 5 marketplaces that we're going to have warehousing in, Orlando, up in probably in the New Jersey area, Phoenix, Denver, and probably Seattle. And so
that's pretty good strategically, because it's like you could cover the East Coast, the South, the Midwest, the Upper West, right? Yeah, I mean, so that's pretty good strategic maneuvering.
Yes, the plan there. I would tell you that one of the things that we're really looking at, and I'll tell you, this is a huge game changer. And I don't mind talking about it because we're already starting to beta test this out. So one of the challenges that we ran into in COVID here was people not having the capital. They'd say, you know, we really love the product, but we're nervous. We don't have the capital. You know, in our product, our average closet system installed is around $750.
Wow. That's very reasonable.
That's our average.
Yeah.
Now, if you're talking about a union labor or things of that nature, it can change, or certain marketplaces, it might change based on labor. That's the average nationwide for us. And if you're talking material and shipment cost, it's lower than that. You may be talking $400 to $500 just in the material to ship it to somebody directly. So it's nominal. That way they can get the ROI in a 2 to 3 year period. But what we realized was these groups would come in and say, we love the product, we just don't have the money right now. So it really got myself thinking with the partner and saying, look, what if we came in like General Motors or Ford and we financed these things for our clients? What if we came in and said, instead of it being $750 out of pocket immediately, what if we came in and said it's $20 per unit or $25 a unit? Then anything above that you get, your cash flow positive automatically. That is a game changer. I can tell you right now, none of our competitors do it. Right. They don't want to do it because the numbers, we're talking massive amounts of capital outlay and collections and stuff. But we're comfortable with saying that because it just supercharges what we're trying to do and getting into every closet in multifamily and controlling and dominating that market. That's what we're looking at right now.
Yeah, no, that's a smart move. And before I let you go, Jim, any books would you like to recommend? You have a book in you. You know that, right? You got to come up with a book, you know, Closets in the United States or something, because you do have a book in you.
Well, thank you. As an entrepreneur, I am, first off, podcast. If I could say one thing about podcasting.
Sure, please.
Reid Hoffman has one called Masters of Scale. It's amazing. Reid was the co-founder of LinkedIn. Another one is called My First Millions. Those guys do an amazing job on just spitballing ideas. And sometimes you just need the idea, the aha moment, like you talked about. Book-wise.
And these are podcasts. Reid, I heard of Reid Hoffman. So Reid Hoffman, Masters of, what was it again?
Masters of Scale.
Of Scale. Gotcha. Okay. Wow.
And then My First Millions.
My First Millions. Okay.
And then on the book wise, a couple books I read, right. I'm reading right now. One's called Blitzkrieg or Blitzscaling. Blitzscaling.
Okay.
And then the other one is called Traction. And it's basically a business book on how to get traction in your business and processes and forth to scale, but doing it in a very systematic way so that you, the owner, are not being controlled by your business. That you can walk away and the business still function and run. And it's a very good book, well thought out, called Traction. And
I heard of that book. Yeah, I haven't got it yet, but I've heard of that book. So we got Blitzscaling and Traction.
Correct.
And the podcast you like books to recommend, Reid Hoffman, Masters of Scale, and My First Millions. With an S at the end, millions or million?
Let me look real quick, my friend. I would say millions because I'm plural. I'm all about the millions, not the one singular. So the one singular is just not going to work. My First Million. It's called My First Million.
Okay. And
good group of guys out of the West Coast. You know, I wish I could get on their podcast. They do an amazing job, though. I just listen to it just for inspiration because it's good to hear other entrepreneurs like yourself or I talk because you're out there on your own island, man. It's sometimes difficult and stressful. And it's just good sometimes, especially in this kind of marketplace, to be having that kind of camaraderie that you can have differences. You can be in a different industry, but we have a common goal there, common theme, and it's common mindset. And so I'm really big on that and pumping into people.
Oh no, listen, I've been lucky that I've been on, I think, 3 or 4 podcasts and I'm always reading. I'm always on LinkedIn. I'm always on Twitter, you know, just, and you know, before COVID, you know, I was always networking. I love networking. Yeah. You know, just get the numbers and like, hey, how can I help you? Or we can help each other. Jim, before I let you go, if somebody wants to contact you, what's the best way?
So LinkedIn, I'm on LinkedIn daily. You look for Jim Monk. The company, if you want to look at the company, it's Closets. And that's, you can go to our website, www.closzzits.com. That's Closets with Z's, 2 Z's, .com. Yeah. And they can reach out to us there. And one of our salespeople, sometimes even me, will get involved if they're too busy and what they got going on.
Well, you're too busy anyway. You're flying all over the world. So pretty soon I'm going to hear that you're in Russia, China, Brazil. And I'm like, where's Jim these days? Oh, well, Jim is traveling the world now. So,
you know, he's having to pull out a closet the size of a house.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
Oh, no. But you know, what's amazing though, is that with all the stuff going on today, all these different, the Kardashians, where the people look at their closets and all these closet shows out there and so forth, that's what residents are looking for. They're looking at that on TV and going, I want that. And you know, reality is that we all get up every day, we all have the same ritual, and I'd rather be inspired by something like this than the wire racking. And I wish I had the wire racking, but I can tell you right now, the wire racking, it can't give you the emotional appeal that this does. And because of that, you can't get the rent bump. Let's be real about it. You can't get the rent bump.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, it's funny because I think when I first moved into my apartment years ago, I think I had a wire rack and I looked at it. I'm like, this sucks. I hate this. You know, I hated it. So I knew that I needed to do something better, you know? So, but no, I love the concept that you guys have. I think it's really good. And Jim froze on me.
Likewise, you froze on me. There we go. You froze on me for a brief moment. I could hear you.
Okay. Well, listen, anyway, Jim, thank you so much for being on today's Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I really, really appreciate it.
Likewise, William, I think we froze again here, but I appreciate it. It's a blast. You and your family stay safe and healthy, and everyone else, the listeners too. And we'll be in touch.
Yeah, no, definitely. Thank you so much.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you.
Yep. Well, everyone, that was Jim Monk, and you can find him at closets.com. That's closets, closzzits.com. Jim, thank you so much for being on P2P Real Estate Show. Really appreciate it. You can find me at peertopeerrealestate.com. That's peer, the number two, peerrealestate.com. Also, please go to Apple Podcasts. Please subscribe, leave a review, tell us how we can make this show better. And before I go, guys, there's a couple of more things. Do not give up on your dreams. Fight for it, guard it, protect it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. And I really believe if you keep the momentum going, good things will happen. On behalf of Peer to Peer Real Estate Show, I'm William Morales. Until next time, thanks, everybody. Have a great day, and please stay safe. Bye.